we would open a EU account for you in euros, and this is referred to as a multi-currency account. And this multi-currency account, you know, it's an account that's assigned to you. You're likely not going to have to register in country to use this account. And then you can now take your euros and log into your Seller Central account and plug in that euro account into Seller Central. And now those euros are going to pool into your own multi-currency account. One of the big advantages of that account is if you have costs in Europe, so you have to pay VAT tax, you can simply take those funds and pay those taxes out of your own account, this account, this multi-currency account. Mm-hmm. Or you can take all the funds and convert it back to US dollars.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Dast. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
I don't get it. Why are they confessing?
They're not confessing.
They're bragging.
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Hey, everybody. For those of you that have been longtime listeners of the Quiet Light Podcast, you probably noticed that we have a brand new shiny introduction to the podcast. Let me know what you think. I like it quite a bit. And there's a point in that introduction where there's a movie quote. We thought we would just throw this in there really for no reason other than it's somewhat fun. So here's what we're going to do. If you know what movie that quote was from, send me an email at mark@quietlightbrokerage or email joe@quietlightbrokerage. For those of you that think that this podcast is actually Joe's podcast, you can do that. Let us know what movie it's from, and we'll give you a shout out on one of the future podcast episodes. So what movie was that from? And Joe, I got something just really funny just to tell you briefly. I was just at Traffic and Conversion out in San Diego, and we were talking about the different people at Quiet Light Brokerage, and somebody actually told me that they thought that what you did at Quiet Light Brokerage was the podcast. That's all that you did.
That's all that I did. That's all I do.
That's all you do. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I wish it was all I did. My life would be a lot easier and I'd sleep better because the podcasting is the easiest part. All I do is talk, and you and the content team, Chris and everybody else, they do the rest. Podcast Motor, they make my life easy. So cool. I wish maybe that'll come true someday. The other alternative versus Mark at Quiet Light or Joe at Quiet Light, you don't have to play favorites. You can just send it to inquiries@quietlight and put movie quote in the subject line. And that way both Mark and I will see it. And we can call you out and tell you we love you and that you picked the name of the movie. We should talk about...
Well, on that, be honest. If you use Google, like I do with every single one of these, tell us that you use Google to find it.
Well, when you were showing me this sample and you gave a movie quote, I did in fact Google it. So don't cheat like I did, folks. I knew what it was. I was pretty sure I knew what it was. And it was maybe people we can, though I won't confuse them with the intro that is not prior to this. Anyway, we have a new guest, a person that specializes in foreign exchange. And it's something that you and I don't have a whole lot of expertise or experience in. His name is Jared Van Orden. He's from GPSFX. I met him at the Prosper Show last year. And we talked a little bit about what they do. And finally, because of some things that have happened with a company called World First, we decided to get him on the podcast and talk about saving some money for the folks that do sell overseas and also buy from overseas manufacturers.
Yeah, I thought you were going to continue talking. I didn't know you were done. Usually when you talk, I just kind of tune you out. So
I know.
Cute, like Marcus. No, look, the Amazon businesses are getting more complex. And one of the best ways to expand and grow your business, any e-commerce business, but Amazon specifically, is to go into different countries. And when you do that, there's going to be added complexity, but also added areas for margin. And one of the very simple ways, and I've talked to Jared before at Prosper Show, is just that, right? Looking at the foreign exchange, this is an area where you can definitely add margin to your business. And it's an area that, frankly, I don't know much about. So I'm glad that we have somebody who does know a lot about this to come on and talk about it.
Yeah. And let me just say real quick before we go to the podcast, Mark is mentioning margin, and it's important if you're going to save $1,000 a month on foreign exchange by doing it right, or another $1,000 a month by using a foreign exchange company when you're placing orders overseas. That's $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year. That could result in an additional $75,000, $100,000 onto the value of your business. So every little bit counts. Please listen to the entire podcast because Jared does a really good job of explaining the entire process.
Awesome. Let's get to it.
Hey, folks. Joe here at Quiet Light Brokerage. And today I've got Jared Van Orden with me on the phone. Hey, Jared, how are you?
I'm doing great, Joe.
Awesome. Well, as I said in our little chat before, today I've got a guest on talking about a subject that I know very little about, which is great because I'm going to ask a lot of dumb questions. But before we go into those dumb questions that I'm going to ask and questions that I think will help the buyers of internet-based businesses selling physical products and selling overseas, the sellers of those, save some money in the future. Why don't you give a little bit of background on yourself so folks understand who you are and what your company is and what you do?
Sure. Thanks, Joe. So I'm with GPS Capital Markets. We're a foreign currency exchange brokerage that's headquartered out of the United States, Utah, actually, to be exact. And we do all things foreign currency exchange. So we help companies specifically if they have revenues that are being collected in a currency outside of their functional currency, outside of the currency they use on a day-to-day basis. U.S. seller that's selling into the U.K., we help them to exchange those funds back into U.S. dollars, or a company that's paying for products in a foreign currency. We help to exchange funds from U.S. dollars into those foreign currencies. And, you know, that it can be on a revenue cost basis. We help companies to acquire other entities overseas or to sell other entities. Any type of transaction that has a foreign currency element to it, we really go out and try and help those companies, number one, to find the best practice solution to what they're doing. Sometimes that may mean not doing business with us, but, you know, to help them find really what's going to fit best for their unique situation in dealing with foreign currencies, and then help them to implement that strategy if at all possible. It could be anything from just converting funds to locking the exchange rates for them.
Excellent. And I've dealt with this a few times over the years when we've got people that are not U.S. citizens. I just did one in Germany last year, and the exchange rate was a major factor in terms of the timing of when we were going to close the transaction for him, because it was being sold purchased in U.S. dollars. And I've had a lot of Canadian folks as well, and folks from different parts of the world. But the big savings here, and the way that people ultimately, and this is what we look at, can boost their bottom line discretionary earnings. There's many, many different ways to do it. But the key here is, you know, a 1-3% savings in that foreign exchange. We're on this podcast because, you know, your team had sent me an email. We met at the Prosper Show last year. I think you'll be there this year. We will as well. But you had sent me an email in regards to World First, which is a very well-known foreign exchange firm they're closing their doors. Can you touch on that a little bit for those folks that are currently using World First and may not know about this and how it's going to impact their bottom line?
Sure. World First is actually a very good exchange brokerage. It's been around for quite a while, and they had been helping a lot of Amazon sellers in the seller space to convert their funds from the foreign marketplaces back into U.S. dollars. Basically, is another option, and rather than using Amazon, to let Amazon convert those revenues for you into U.S. dollars. And what happened is that World First is in an acquisition type situation where a foreign buyer out of China was looking to acquire the company. But because of some of the blocking that the U.S. has done for Chinese financial companies purchasing U.S. corporations, that transaction didn't look like it was going to go through with World First U.S. operations. And so World First sent out an email here back in January to all of its clients saying that their U.S. operations are going to be closing immediately. And that leaves a lot of our Amazon sellers in a situation where they're no longer going to be able to use that service. But it was less than about 30-day notice that, you know, after February 20th, which is today, you cannot use World First services if you are a U.S. Canadian corporation. So those services out of the US and Canada are no longer available to you. Now, that doesn't mean that World First has quit doing business. If you're a UK seller that's doing business in the EU, that service is still going to keep working for you. It's really only affecting the US companies that are based out of the United States and Canada.
Okay, so if we've got a U.S. company and a U.S. company or a Canadian company doing $100,000 a year in revenue in the EU, and they were using World First and they just default back to using Amazon, what's the cost difference in terms of the exchange rate and what they're going to be left with?
It's going to be pretty substantial. I mean, if you're using Amazon, every 2 weeks, Amazon sends your revenues back to you. And if you have not entered a EU or UK-based bank account, those funds get exchanged by Amazon and sent to you every 2 weeks. And by default, the exchange rate that they're giving you is not what the market exchange rate is. It's actually the Amazon exchange rate they provide to you, and it's over 3% off market. So if you're doing, you know, $100,000 in sales over there, you're going to expect to only get $97,000 back or a little bit less than that, because of the exchange rates that come automatically through Amazon's platform.
And if that same seller was using, say, you guys or World First, what kind of rate would they have been getting?
It would have been at least 3% better than what they were currently receiving through Amazon.
I'm confused. Do the math for me.
Amazon is around 3.75% is kind of where they come in at on their markup on the exchange rate.
Okay.
Whereas if it's coming through GPS, you're going to see significant, or any other broker that is helping the Amazon sellers, you're going to see a significant reduction, that oftentimes 2 to 3 or more % back to you for those conversions.
So you go from, you're at 3.75%, which is the default Amazon number, and these are just numbers that float and change, I would assume. Are we looking at a full percentage point, 2 percentage points, or are you talking... Would you guess we're looking at 2% versus 3.75%?
I would say for most of the brokers, including GPS, you're looking at 2 to 3% back in your pocket on the exchange.
That seems really high, just given that, I mean, 2 to 3%. So you go from 100,000, if it's 3.75 with Amazon, that's $3,750. We're going to save 3% by using GPS, or if they were with World First, is that only costing them $750?
Yeah. And
really, that's a huge difference.
It's a huge difference, and that seems really high, but in all reality, that's actually pretty on par with a lot of other methods that are employed right now. If you're an e-tailer and you have your own website, so you're selling on Amazon, but you're also selling on your own website over in the UK, your credit card processor is collecting those funds, and oftentimes they're converting the foreign revenues into US dollars and placing them into your account. You're often losing 2.25% on that conversion, and often a 1% to 1.25% cross-border fee that's charged to you. And so that's 3.25 to 3.5% that you often lose on that conversion, even if it's coming through a credit card processor that may be integrated to your Shopify account or some other online platform. So it seems really high, But you'd be surprised that currency conversion buffer is in there for most conversions.
Okay, so it's a simple math again, though. If someone's doing $100,000 in a foreign currency, foreign land, they're going to save 3% by using, if they were using World First or using a firm like yours, that's $3,000 for every 100,000. So if they're doing a million, it's an awful lot larger. Just to break it down further for those that are listening, if you've got a business and you're planning to exit in the next 12 to 24 months, and you're paying these high numbers that Jared's talking about, not only is it, you know, hurting your bottom line and taking money out of your pocket, but you're also devaluing your business. If your business is worth a 3x multiple of discretionary earnings, if you're losing $3,000 in currency exchange, you're taking $9,000 off the value of your business. If you're doing a million overseas, you know, that's going to be $90,000 off the value of your business in terms of these additional expenses. I had Mike Jackness on the podcast. So hopefully you guys listened to it a couple of weeks ago, where we talked about his exit and one of his businesses. And he and Dave on the Ecom Crew always talk about that revenue is sanity, revenue is ego, and I'm getting this wrong, I know, that profits are sanity. Too many folks focus just on the top line and don't focus on that bottom line profit. Renegotiating cost of goods sold, looking at foreign exchange rates and making every dollar count will help you build a more valuable business. And it actually instills confidence in your buyers as well, because they see that you're running a real business and you're doing what you can to make it as profitable as possible. All right, so I ranted there for a moment, Jared. Sorry about that. You mentioned at one point, you said you can, if people are buying products in a foreign land, are we talking about a currency savings, a cost savings if someone is buying product from China? Because, you know, a lot of folks that have got e-commerce businesses are importing from China and spending tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands a year. Is there an exchange rate opportunity, savings opportunity there when they're buying from a foreign manufacturer, or did I misunderstand that?
There is. And, you know, there are two parts to that answer. So maybe I'll dive into that a little bit. China is unique. You know, a lot of these products are coming out of China, and a lot of these companies in China, they want US dollars when they're selling to you. That has a lot to do with, in the past, you know, China has controlled the exchange rate between the US dollar and the Chinese renminbi, CNY, CNH. I missed any other names for the local currency, yuan. When you are sending money over there in the past, they have often wanted to receive US dollars. And in a time period where the Chinese currency is weakening, that's just an added bonus to these Chinese suppliers. When they receive US dollars and get them converted to their currency, they receive more for it. So in China, most of the time, you'll see that it's really hard to get any pricing outside of the US dollar. And if you are being priced in US dollars, because the supplier knows that they're not going to get your payment for 30, 60, 90 days, they don't know what the exchange rate is going to be in 90 days. And so the Chinese suppliers will actually increase the price of your product to add a little bit of a buffer in there, just because if the exchange rate fluctuates, they don't want to be out 1% or 2% or more, because the rates have changed between then and when they actually receive the funds. Now, China aside, looking at all other countries where companies may be purchasing their product, if you're having to pay a euro invoice to buy your product, you probably hop on a banking platform to purchase those euro, and you'll notice that the exchange rate that you receive on that transfer is not what you can see online on Google or any of these other sites that are reporting rates. And that's because the rates that you're seeing online through Google and these other locations like Bloomberg or Reuters, those rates are averaged rates of transactions of $5 million or more. Some of these are $10 million or more. And those are referred to as market trades. And so if you're trading blocks of $5 million or $10 million at a time into these other currencies, those are the exchange rates that banks are trading with each other at. Now, we little guys who are not purchasing blocks of currency that big, when we go and buy foreign currency and go to send it to that supplier, the reason we don't get that rate that the banks are getting is because there is risk associated with us buying those funds. And so the banks mark up the exchange rate, and it really has a lot to do with volume. Somebody who's buying $1 million at a time, $1 million worth of euro at a time, is going to get a much more favorable exchange rate than somebody who's buying $1,000 worth of euro at a time.
What about some of the other countries that are more likely to be countries that folks would manufacture in, you know, like India, Thailand, maybe even Mexico? I've seen a few of those. Is there a, for folks that are buying in those countries, manufacturing in those countries, is there a currency exchange savings opportunity for them? And if so, how do they go about doing it?
There is on those. And again, if you're just using a typical bank to do those transactions, that may not be the best opportunity for you. You know, reaching out to a broker, one of these other companies, you know, a World First, a GPS, and looking into what type of exchange rate that they can give you on sending those wires, that can be really substantial savings. There's a bank here locally near me that charges $50 per outgoing wire transfer. And that is not the cost of sending the wire. That's part of the cost. You know, so it might cost you anywhere from $20 to $50 to send an international wire to pay a vendor. But then there's also that foreign currency element. You know, maybe your bank doesn't have a great relationship when sending money to Korea, right? And so the exchange rate they provide to you might be 3.5% off of market, plus the $50 wire fee or $20 wire fee to send the funds to that country. And so the savings can be quite significant, but it's going to be on a bank by bank, provider by provider basis, and also looking at what currency that you're purchasing.
So how does it work if, you know, if I'm manufacturing in India and I'm placing an order for $40,000 worth of goods, would I work with a GPS to lock in that exchange rate and you wire the funds over in whatever the Indian currency is? What is the Indian currency? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, Indian rupees.
Okay.
So if you're sending, you picked a good one, India has some very interesting tax laws over there. And so if you're buying from an Indian provider and they're pricing you in US dollars, you'll often see an INR price, Indian rupee price printed on the invoice. And if you take that Indian rupee amount and you just look on Google, see what the exchange rate is and you convert it back into US dollars, well, now you've got a US dollar cost on the invoice and then the US dollar cost that you backed into from the rupees. If you compare those two, you'll often see a very significant difference. I've seen up to 5% built into the pricing for you to pay them in US dollars. And that's it has to do with the way the funds get converted in country and whether they receive a certain type of tax credit. But there are opportunities where if you paid them in INR, Indian rupees, you might get 4 to 5% right off the top in savings just simply because they're not dealing with the riskiness of exchanging the currency anymore.
So if I was manufacturing and buying $40,000 worth of goods from India, for instance, and I work through GPS, I could save that 5% because you'd be able to wire over, do it in that. That's $2,000. Am I doing the math right?
There is very much that chance. And not just GPS. I mean, almost any institution in the United States that is doing that for you rather than sending over dollars. I mean, in this case, you're just sending dollars over there and it's being exchanged in country.
Right.
By simply paying the invoice in Indian rupees, you might be saving 4% right across the top, 4 to 5%.
Wow. So again, and this can be done in multiple countries. China, maybe not as the opportunity is not as big in China because they want US dollars. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
They typically want US dollars, but that's changing. China would like to become more of a global player and their currency is becoming one of the reserve currencies of the World Bank. You're going to see that change over the next few years. And there's real opportunity there, but there's also risks that comes into it as well. If you decide to start purchasing Indian rupees to pay that supplier, you know, there is a chance that the Indian currency would strengthen 5% over the next year.
Can you lock it in?
And if you do,
in terms of, because when people are, you know, manufacturing products, they're, you know, putting 30% down and the other, you know, 70% when it's, you know, inspected and going on the boat. And that usually all happens within a 12-week period.
No, you're exactly right. And so the timing, you know, may not be really wide on those payments, right? And so maybe the markup isn't real significant. But if you start paying a foreign supplier in their local currency, and that may give you back some, you know, a little bit of a discount on purchasing your product. But you also have to then take into consideration that you're now at risk. I mean, the Indian currency could weaken 10% in your favor over the next 12 months. So, you know, going in 12-week increments, but a year from now, if the currency has weakened 10%, then it's 10% in your favor. But if the currency has strengthened over the next year, you know, a year from now, it's now 10% against you. And so you may have to make decisions on how to lock the exchange rate ahead of time on those purchases you're going to make. Or you may have to go back to the negotiating table in order to, you know, get your pricing down a little bit with the supplier.
And just to be clear,
you can go a couple.
The owners of these businesses that, you know, their eyes are probably rolling in the back of their heads right now because they've got so many things that they're supposed to be experts on, but they don't have to be here. They can hire a firm like yours to do these things for them, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would always look at what your costs are doing. Sometimes these companies, and in this, I'm glad you mentioned that because there's a big misnomer here where a lot of companies think I'm buying my product in US dollars, so it doesn't matter where the exchange rates go. That's not actually true. Because if I'm in China and I'm receiving your US dollars and it's $100,000 today, if the Chinese currency strengthens 10%, at the end of next year, I'm only getting $90,000 worth of renminbi when I receive it. And so I have production costs in country. And if I'm no longer able to be profitable, I have to raise your price. And so some of your, you know, clients here, they may see that they've been buying the same SKU for the last 10 years. And they may see that the price of that SKU has gone up and down over the years, even though they're only buying it in US dollars. And that has a lot to do with exchange rates. If the costs go up and down to the supplier, they have to adjust the pricing, even if it's in US dollars.
Okay. You had mentioned something earlier about, I think I heard you say EU bank account. If you don't have one, the funds are going back to your US account and charged an exchange rate. For those that are selling in the EU, let's say via Amazon, should they have an EU bank account? And can you do that if it's a US institution or US corporation?
Okay, so that's a really good question. Let's look at that in a couple parts. So one is, if I'm selling into Europe, okay, I'm selling into the EU, let's use Germany as an example. If I'm selling my products into Germany on Amazon, if I don't log on to my Seller Central account over there and punch in a Euro bank account, okay, Amazon automatically converts the funds to dollars every 2 weeks. So you have an option. If you could go over and get an account in the EU set up, say you go to Germany and set up an account in country, you could have those funds go to that Euro account and pool into that account. And if that account has online access, you could manage it from here in the United States and send the funds back to you however often you want.
Just to be clear, you're saying account, you mean a bank account, not a seller.
A bank account. Yes. So you can open an in-country bank account.
Can you set up an in-country bank account in all of the EU countries if you're a US corporation or LLC?
You are likely going to have to go over and register in-country. Okay. And so there's going to be some tax nexus situations that are created by that. So another option you have is you can go to your bank here in the United States. You can go to a GPS and you can say, I would like to get an account in-country over in the EU. And so in the case of GPS, we would open a EU account for you in euros, and this is referred to as a multi-currency account. And this multi-currency account, you know, it's an account that's assigned to you. You're likely not going to have to register in country to use this account. And then you can now take your euros and log into your Seller Central account and plug in that euro account into Seller Central. And now those euros are going to pool into your own multi-currency account. One of the big advantages of that account is if you have costs in Europe, so you have to pay VAT tax, you can simply take those funds and pay those taxes out of your own account, this multi-currency account. Mm-hmm. Or you can take all the funds and convert it back to US dollars.
Gotcha. You know, we had Avask Accounting on the podcast in 2018 talking about VAT. And I do know that they actually help people set up EU bank accounts as well as part of it. And folks can find them at avaskaccounting.co.uk. And then use a company like Jared's for the foreign exchange as well. Just quick math, if based upon what we've talked about, is somebody doing $100,000 in revenue, they're going to save a couple percentage points, $2,000, by making sure they're using good foreign exchange. And then if they're manufacturing overseas, if they can save another 5% on that $40,000 inventory purchase, if it's in India, for instance, that's another $4,000. Folks, that's $6,000 in savings, money in your pocket. And if you're selling your business for a 3x multiple, that's $18,000 added on to the value of your business. And you can adjust that number in any way that you want. But these are the things that matter when you're growing your business with an eventual exit in mind, or if you're buying an interest, buying a business, and you want to increase the discretionary earnings and build equity right away. These are some of the things you can look at. Jared, I appreciate your time here. It's a complicated subject. How do they find you? What is your web address and how can they reach out to you either, you know, via email or finding the website?
Okay, so our web address is www.gpsfx.com. And, you know, to get in touch with us, easiest is usually a phone call. It's 801-984-1080. And then I can send you on my email, but I'll state it here as well. My email is jvanorden@gpsfx.com.
Awesome. That's great.
And if people just have questions, I'm happy even just to answer questions to point them in the right direction. If someone has listened to this and they're like, I think I have this, but I just need some help, I'm happy just to point them in the right direction if need be as well.
I appreciate it. That's why we have you on, because you're here to help first and build value. So I appreciate that. Folks, I would encourage you to reach out to Jared and his team over there and see if you're overspending and if you've got some savings there. Jared, appreciate your time. Look forward to seeing you out at the Prosper Show.
Thanks, Joe. See you soon.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light content team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.